truly is an honor to minister to this body. Thank you, Pastor Portman. I've been looking forward to this for a while. The Lord began to speak to me weeks ago about something. The Lord has been speaking to this church body of touching the lives of others. And though we weren't privileged to see it tonight, we know that the Lord through this body has been touching lives. And that's truly a mandate that the Lord has given to the church, is to reach out to proclaim his goodness. And I want to teach about that tonight. We're going to do a little teaching. We're going to do a little telling. I promise there will be no yelling. And I believe that the Lord has a place for each and every one of us to shine. Thank you for being here. If you would turn your Bibles tonight to 1 Peter, the second chapter. This is one of those nights where we don't have the screen to rely on, so hopefully we have our Bibles. And I promise you, being that the scriptures are not on the board, I'm coming out of the book. So what I proclaim will be coming from the word of the Lord. First Peter 2, 9 and 10, a familiar portion of Scripture. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Verse 10, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God. That's special. We were not a people, but now we are a people of God. Special because we're his. Amen. Lord, one more time I ask you, Lord, to touch this word. Anoint it, Lord. Let me simply be a conduit that you flow through, Lord, to the hearts and the minds of those that stand in this place. Lord, let your word change us tonight. Let your word stir us up tonight. Lord, let your word challenge us tonight. As like it was already said here tonight, we'll be rubbing elbows with people tomorrow. We'll have a opportunity, Lord, to speak of your goodness. And I pray, Lord, that you would give us the boldness, Lord, and the spirit to do it in love as you would. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to speak to you tonight about a marvelous light. And we are getting to that season where we focus on the light of Christ. And yes, we have so much to be thankful for. But we become now the New Testament church, that marvelous light that shines the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ to the world that we touch. And my question and my challenge to us is, how many generations can we touch or effect? We have great potential. because the one who resides inside of us is the author of it all. That word generation in this scripture is genos, or kin, or kindred, born countrymen, offspring, family, stock, tribe, nation, nationality, or descent from a particular people. Not just any old people, but a particular people. Scripture says a peculiar people. And that word chosen, eklektos, means favorite or chosen or elect or picked out or chosen by God to obtain salvation through Christ Jesus. Sounds like a pretty special selection to me. But here's what goes along with that: to show forth, ex angelo, or to publish, or to celebrate. We celebrated here tonight of the goodness of God. To tell out or forth, to declare abroad, to divulge or publish, to make known by one, praising, by two, proclaiming, and by three, celebrating. So we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, a holy nation, but God has a purpose for His church to show forth the praises of Him who hath called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. So darkness doesn't mean hopeless. Remember that. We're going to revisit that later, but darkness does not mean hopeless. And we are living in a world right now that every one of us can agree continues to get darker and darker and darker. But with that darkness comes an opportunity for the house of God and the children of God to shine their light and bring hopeless into their world of darkness. Little Bible study tonight. Some of these notes come from my Bible study, and some of them come from Pastor Joseph Hanthorne's pamphlet that we got at the home Bible study outreach not too long ago in Mequon. Some excellent stuff, and I would say for somebody who's wanting to teach a home Bible study, and it's exploring God's Word, and He just has simplified some things in there, but didn't water it down. It is so deep and profound, but so easy to go forth. And so for some of you who think you can't do it, don't listen to that voice. The Lord has prepared us. So, picked out or chosen by God. So if we are Abraham's seed, we are heirs of the promise. And so according to Scripture, we are Abraham's seed. Now let's go to Genesis, the 12th chapter, and we are going to read verses 1 through 3 of Genesis 12. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, notice his name is not Abraham yet, but I think it's awesome that we see through the life of Abraham when he has that conversion or God touches his life, he changes his name. And it's the same today in the year 2023 and moving forth. When God touches our life, He changes our name. I became Roland Jesus Bear when I went down in those waters of baptism. And when we take on the name of Jesus, we are changed. And he said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will shew thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Every one of us in here tonight belongs to a family of the earth, and we are blessed. Now watch. The promises that God made to Abraham was to make of him a great nation. This was a promise about the nation of Israel. And then to make his name great. He became the father of the faithful. Abraham is the father of all monotheists, or those who believe in one God. Anybody know anybody like that in here? And the third was to give a land to his descendants, a promised land. And to bless all families, number four, of the earth through Abraham's seed. Not seeds, but seed. And this is referring to Jesus. Galatians 3 and 16 says, "Now to Abraham and to his seed were the promises made." He does not say, "and to seeds as many," but "as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ." Christ came through the line of Abraham, and therefore we are blessed through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we know that Abraham responded to God in faith, but we also know that Abraham wasn't perfect. We know that Abraham and Sarah decided that they would get God's promise their way. And after so many years of not having any children, and how could that whole thing work, they decided to do things themselves, and we know that that was a mess. Anybody ever try to help God in a situation? Probably still dealing with some of the consequences of some decisions we may have made at one time. We know that Hagar's son would be Ishmael. He would be a wild man. We would see how Joseph, through on generations, was sold to the Ishmaelites, and how they were just a thorn in the side of the Israelites. Ishmael became the father of the Muslim people. Isaac became the father of the Israelites. And Paul would later use the births of Ishmael and Isaac to illustrate the natural birth and spiritual birth. Let's go to Galatians 4. And we are going to read verses 28 through 31. He's talking to the church at Galatia. "Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now." And he's talking about Ishmael. "Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free." And so Ishmael is a foreshadow of our first birth, the flesh. Isaac, a foreshadow of our second birth, the spirit. Ishmael represents that which is born of the flesh, and Isaac represents that which is born of the spirit. Type in a shadow of the plan that the Lord had coming for you and I. I'm thankful for that. And so Galatians 5 and 1 also says this: "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." So we are no longer in bondage, but we have been set free by the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we are free, then we are, according to Scripture, free indeed. And because of that freedom, we can go forth without condemnation and proclaim the goodness of God. This generation needs God. And so this generation needs us. Without us, this generation may not hear the truth of God. Without us, this generation may not see the goodness of God. They may not feel the touch of God. And then Colossians 2 and 11 talks about the circumcision, because God renewed his covenant with Abraham and he instituted the sign to make that covenant, and it was circumcision. But Colossians 2 and 11 talks about the circumcision of the heart. We're no longer under are required to be physically circumcised, because we are circumcised, the Bible says, with the circumcision of the heart. Colossians 2, 11 and 12, in him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by the putting off of the body of sins of flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, in which ye also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Putting on Christ in water baptism now fulfills the Old Testament requirement of circumcision. Galatians 3, 26 through 29. I have used the scripture a number of times from this pulpit, but it is so very clear, and I can't tell you how many times I have seen people's eyes come open and see them get it when we talk about, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, like literally putting on a garment. And so we put on Christ, and now we are wearing his robe of righteousness. So literally we are in Christ. And I hear a few, oh, I never saw that before. The Spirit of God allows for them to see truth. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, says Galatians 3 and 26. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So there we are, Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise, because we are Christ's. We have put on Christ. He has taken up his residency in us. So we are Christ's, and because of that, we are now Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise, Pastor Portman, who talked about the promises of God. Can you believe that the promises of God for you and for I started way back in the book of Genesis? That blows me away. But yet it's good for us today, and we are to show forth. We are Abraham's seed and heirs according to that promise. A while ago, we sang a song, the choir, a thousand generations, falling down in worship to sing the song of ages to the Lamb. For all who go before us, and all who will believe. And how many people, generation after generation after generation, have been brought into the body of Christ All because of truth, the Word of God. We have got to realize what God has bestowed to us and given for us to take to others. How many can we reach? How many generations can we touch? It was about a month ago, I was standing right there on a Sunday morning. I'll have to explain this because we have no. But that's good. Does everybody believe that He's Lord of all? And God knew exactly what was going to happen here tonight? And do you notice I'm not pulling any hair out because the screen doesn't work? This is not an act. It's like God's in charge. I was standing there praying with my grandson. And it was a powerful service that Sunday morning. And I was simply asking God to use this young man. If he would tarry that one day, this young man could be used in the kingdom of God to share the goodness of God with those around him. And when I looked at that picture, my thought was, I wish that my son could have been standing there too, but there could have been three generations there. Though I know he was here, I thought it would have been nice to have the picture. But then this small still voice told me to look at the picture. There are three generations there. And little did I realize that sitting in this congregation that day, there was a lady sitting over there, her name is Deborah, and there was a young man sitting back there, or a man sitting back there, and Brother Smith and Brother Savadik were talking to him. But these men just so happened to end up in my living room now on Tuesday nights for a home Bible study. One is a Baptist minister, and another one is a lady that heard of the goodness of God, but that small still voice said, there is your three generations. One of your bloodline, and two that will be a part of mine. Didn't see it, but we don't always see what God has planned for you and I. But He's working in our lives and through our lives to touch others. Now, let's go to Matthew, the 24th chapter. How many believe that we're living in the end times? How many believe that we're getting close to the curtain call? Then we also have to believe that the time is getting short. So in Matthew, the 24th chapter, in verse 32, he's talking about the parable of the fig tree. Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When its branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. It's believed by many that those scriptures are referring to the time when Israel would become a nation again. When the tree was tender and brought forth his leaves, summer was nigh at hand, there was a new growth. Israel became a nation again in 1948, and Scripture says that that generation would not pass before the coming of the Son of Man. What generation? Talking about a generation that was there in the nation of Israel, somebody that was there that would still be alive when Christ came back. Psalms tells us that it's appointed unto all men 70. That's 70. If you live to be 80, you're blessed. If you live to be 90, well, I don't know about that. But if it is 70 years, if it is 80 years, and 1948 was what these scriptures are talking about, how close are we? And then you go to just up a little ways, and verse 36 says, but of the day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And then 37, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not the flood came and knew not until the flood came. Just as it was in the days of Noah. If you say time out right there and go back and read what it was like in the days of Noah, Scripture talks about the earth was filled with violence. And they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, buying and selling. Life goes on. Go, 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 go. Sounds like the world today. Sounds like what we're seeing play out before our very eyes. We live in a very dark and violent world. Just like the nation of Israel lived in the land of Goshen, and when the 10 plagues went forth, the plague of darkness, the Bible said it was a darkness, it was so dark it could be felt. Can anybody feel the darkness in this world? But yet, just because it's dark doesn't mean that it's hopeless. That's the time for the church to shine. As a matter of fact, Scripture says in the Valley of Goshen, where the Israelites were camped, that their vessels, their tents, had light in them. And so, do you think they couldn't see the light? And do you think that they can't see the light of the Lord Jesus Christ that shines through you and I in this dark world? And God uses these portions of Scripture to get our attention. Yes, no man knows the day or the hour. I would never say this is when it's happening. But God loves us enough, just like, let's go back to Abraham. Do you remember the information he let Abraham in on to go and bail his nephew Lot out because he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? Can you imagine the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Brother Moran, pulling up beside you and putting his arm around you and telling you, here's what I'm going to do. And I want you to tell these people and get them out of there because I'm fixing to put judgment on that place. But when we look around in this world and we see what's going on, we have to be sensitive to what the Lord is trying to show us. And not to scare us, but to show us how ripe the harvest fields are and how right the time is for the church to rise up and shine and to touch the lives of people in this world. When we had our harvest party just a few weeks ago, I was so touched. There was a video that was played. I remember talking to Sister Moran after the service, and the tears were running down her cheeks and my eyes were filled with tears because I saw Brother Moran driving a tractor, pulling a wagon full of children, taking them around for a ride. But the Lord showed me in that he represented the man of God, the voice of God, the fire of God, the truth of God. And behind him was generation after generation after generation that need God. And unless they have a man of God to lead them, they'll never know. And each and every day, you and I in this world, we rub elbows and we rub shoulders with people that don't know. Some of them love the Lord, but they don't know full truth. And so God has been dealing with me. And I'm going to be transparent. Something happened to me this weekend on a hunting trip. And I promise I did not come here to talk to you about deer hunting. We were blessed and it was a great time, but the Lord taught me something and allowed for me to live it. Please don't tell my wife, because, well, I forgot she's here. Please don't be afraid, because it was the small, still voice that let me know that it was all for a purpose. In a land, in a place that I'm familiar with. Almost 40 years I've been going to this place and walking in the dark and coming back in the dark and finding my way. But this morning was different. Walking in the dark, and we all went our separate ways, and I knew right where I was going, so I thought. And before I knew it, I was lost. Do you know that the congregation is getting older? So that, of course, means that I'm getting older. Do you believe that we can do the same things for so many years and we can get familiar with things and all of a sudden we don't have the same perspective that we used to have? And so I thought I had it all worked out this year, because I have some issues with my legs, and so I did some things so that I could walk hands-free in the woods with a walking stick and not have to be having a rifle in one hand and a flashlight in another and a backpack, and can't do that anymore. But so I thought I had it all figured out. Had a light on my head, and I'm thinking about, yep, you think you have it all worked out, don't you? But the light that I was focusing on gave me a different perspective. And so, as I walked, and I walked, and I walked, I knew something was wrong, and I was not getting to where I was supposed to be. And all of a sudden, I felt all alone. And it was very dark. This is hard for me to tell you this, because it's almost embarrassing. I thought I knew what I was doing. Thought I knew right where I was going. I had it all together. Familiar. And finally, I sat down, I texted my son, and I said, I'm embarrassed to tell you this, but I'm lost. And he said, do you need me to come and get you, Dad? He said, no. I'll just wait till it gets light, and then I'll know where I am. But I was willing to tell somebody my fault. Do you know that That's why the church is here, so that we can tell him, so that we can come to him, even when we think we have it all figured out, and he's right there to help us. When it got light, I'm almost embarrassed to tell you that I was only about 50 yards from where I should be. But in my mind, I thought I was out in the middle of nowhere. That small, still voice said, "Don't think you can continue to walk surrounded by darkness and not fall or make mistakes." And I'm not talking to any situations in the church tonight. I'm not pointing any fingers at anybody. But I'm telling all of us, 35, 40 year saints, young people, you cannot continue to walk surrounded by darkness and not fall. You cannot continue to listen to the voices that call to us from that darkness and not have problems. I'm thankful that God didn't give up on Abraham and Sarah when they made their mistake, but he worked with them and he did great things through them. And God will do the same for us, the children of promise. So we had an awesome day. God blessed us. And then it was time to leave. We didn't get out of the woods till 8 p.m. And it was dark. And my son and the other three took care of the deer, and he said, "Dad, can you find your way out and bring the truck and bring it up the field?" And I said, "I got this, no problem." And so I walked, and I walked. This time I'm going out. I know the land. Been there. Same thing happened. And I sat down. Actually, I fell down once. Then I got back up and I was crying to the Lord, "Help me, Lord." Embarrassed. Perhaps my pride was hurt. I'm supposed to be strong. Supposed to know what I'm doing. Talking to somebody right now who's struggling with something. Tell the Lord about it. He's there. He hears. He listens. He speaks. He responds. And I sat down and I cried out for my son. Can you imagine? And I didn't hear anybody, and I thought, man, this time I'm lost. I'm not worried about your perception of who I am because of this. I'm saying what I'm saying tonight because I believe God wants to help somebody. Because when I sat down after I cried out for my son, my phone rang and it was him. And again, "Dad, I'm coming to you. Just shine your light." Can I tell you that if you cry out to our Savior, he'll come running. And I sat down with tears in my eyes and I said, "Lord, please help me. I don't know what's happening. Please help me." And he spoke to me again, that very small, still voice, and said, just as you cried out for help, there's many right now in your city that are crying out because they're lost and living in darkness, and you have their answer, and you can give them a different perception than they have now, because they are looking at darkness. Stand to your feet and walk. And that's exactly what I did. And you know what? Somehow I found my way. But as I got out to the field, I thanked the Lord for getting me through what he got me through. But he instilled in my heart and reminded me again of all those that are calling out in this city. And we know the way. Please let me go hunting again. So, the hour is late. Our time is short. And this world is depending upon you and I to be the watchman on the wall, to make a clear sound, to call out to them who are lost and looking into darkness. We have what they need. Now look, darkness does not mean hopeless. Time is short, and there are many that are looking for a way out, talking about the world. But twofold, there are also many that are looking for their way back. And the same light that got them here is the same light that's here to meet them and keep them. And God has chosen you and I, his chosen generation, his royal priesthood, to be a part of that process. I close with this. James 5, 19 and 20 says, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. This world needs us, folks. And our Lord has called us to be a part of the answer to bringing them out of darkness into his marvelous light. Would you pray, and would you allow the Lord to put someone in your mind's eye that you will make a project, that you will make a purpose in your life to build a bridge to them and bring them to the goodness of God? Would you stand with me tonight? Our steps are ordered by the Lord. He already knows about our celebrations tomorrow. He knows where we're going and who we'll be in contact with. And look at it as a divine appointment, each and every one of us. Shine the light of Christ. Let them feel the love of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, In the name of Jesus, He sees us. He knows if we're wandering, and He's waiting for us to call. And He's also waiting for us to reach out and touch those that are crying out right now. I'm really almost embarrassed to tell you that I know this, but this is knowledge from before Christ. Do you know that the Wednesday before Thanksgiving in this world is considered the busiest tavern night that there is? And so there's a lot of people right now that are celebrating. And some of them won't live to see another day because of it. But they're going to wake up tomorrow and they're going to feel just as lost as they have. And God will make a way for us to speak His goodness into their lives. Would you come tonight and pray and seek the Lord for that face? In Jesus' name.